Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this morning. It is Thursday, the 5th of January, and very nice to have you with us. A chilly morning, and hopefully we'll warm your hearts with our great conversation.
Yes.
Or something close to that.
Sweet.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll let you know how you can be a part of the conversation. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Right?
That's right, Joe.
Yeah. joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning again, Joe.
Very nice. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is director of the... that was a lovely look. Director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And it's very nice to have you with us
this
morning.
Thank you.
And Libby Post joins us. Libby is a political consultant, and it's a thrill to have her here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. So let's get on to... I will remind you that... to join in on our conversation, all you have to do is go to panel@wamc.org. That would be where you would write to us, panel@wamc.org, and we'll get your letters, and we'd love to hear and see what you have to say on the issues that we're talking about this morning. Okay, so let's go to the stories at large, and we'll begin with Obamacare. There was a big meeting yesterday. Senate Republicans have opened the fight over Obamacare, the Obama health law, the Affordable Care Act. And we've gotten letters of people saying, why do you call it Obamacare? And I think we're safe in saying that the president calls it Obamacare.
He has. Mm-hmm.
So I think that...
he embraced it.
Yes, he embraced it. So I feel fairly safe using that phrase. But anyway, Congress opened for battle over the Affordable Care Act on Wednesday as Republicans pushed immediately forward to repeal the health care law, and President Obama made a rare trip to Capitol Hill to defend it. The bitterness that has long marked the fight intensified as Republicans seized the opportunity to make good on a central campaign promise to get rid of the law, a pledge reinforced on Wednesday by Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who met with House Republicans not far from where the president gathered with the Democrats. I think it's okay for us to point out at this point, we do have another, I pulled another article on this very topic, which is that as this debate goes on, it is probably a good idea just to remind you that while the GOP launches this repeal of Obamacare, they have no plan to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is also a big question mark as to what you do instead, if anything at all. Now, I think, did someone on this program say yesterday that you wonder if they've been working on this for 6 or 7 years to repeal it, of why there was not some architecture put in gear to actually say, well, this will be what we will do instead. Regardless, the fight over the future of Obamacare kicked off on the Hill yesterday with both the president and Mike Pence appearing. What do you all make of that?
Well, I think that the president is obviously setting up the Republicans, because what's going to happen, as you just indicated, as Rosemary just said, they're going to kick 20 million people off the rolls. What happens when you kick 20 million people off the rolls? What happens when you take Medicaid, which is a program that Governor Cuomo yesterday said, if this happens in New York, we're really going to be behind the eight ball because we're going to owe so much money as a result of both Obamacare and Medicaid. Those are all big questions. So we've heard leaks that say, okay, they're going to repeal it so that they can stay with their, as you say, Joe, the central campaign pledge,
right,
but they're not going to really mean it, and it'll be a couple of years before they come back to implementation of the changes. Or the radicals in the United States House of Representatives are going to say, hey, we promised this. I went around and campaigned about it. Damn the torpedoes. Let's just do it and see what happens. And if they do that, they're in big trouble.
They are in big trouble. You know, obstructionists don't necessarily make plans. All they do is obstruct, and that's exactly what the Republicans have done. All they do is rail against something, but they haven't come back with anything, and they won't come back with anything because, you know, I'll tell you what will happen, Alan. All the people who now have health insurance, if they get thrown off, will end up at the ERs in the hospitals, and our costs will go up. Insurance costs will go up because of that, because they don't have insurance. The hospitals have to serve them. Who ends up paying? People with insurance, because our premiums will go up to help cover those costs. You know, they don't have a plan. And I think Chuck Schumer said it best yesterday, that they want to make America sick again. And I think that really hits the nail on the head.
I think that we are vastly underestimating our Republican foes here. They're not going to let 20 million people go off the rolls and hate Republicans for doing it. They're going to repeal it because they have to. Yeah. They have promised and they've campaigned on it. And then they're going to replace it with Obamacare with a different name.
Right.
And doesn't that sound like just what our president has done mm-hmm. his whole business career? Other people put up buildings and he puts Trump name on it and it's his. And I think that's what's going to happen. And instead of Obamacare, we're going to have Trump Care. And he's going to say, oh, look, it's all different. It's better. It's much better. And his followers are going to go along with it. And the rest of us will continue to have health care in the system that it exists now.
By the way, we don't know. I mean, it's we can speculate till the cows come home.
Right.
But the fact is that there's chaos out there. And chaos is something that the system can't, that health chaos is something that the system can't abide. So if, in fact, they say they're going to repeal it, and there are always consequences to words,
mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it doesn't go anywhere, or it may go somewhere, or somebody's going to get terribly frightened and do something as a result of it, it's going to really be bad news. I think the Times editorial was right. Chaos.
And Trump loves chaos. He loves creating it, and he loves rising above it to become the savior.
Said Mario Cuomo, you know, prose and, you know.
Right. You campaign in poetry and you govern in prose.
I think his followers, this plays into his narrative, too, and they want the system shook up. He is going to be able to say, see, we're shaking it up for you.
Right.
You know, but I don't agree, Rosemary. I think what happens is that once you throw that hand grenade into the mix and people start to suffer, it's different than when you say you're going to shake up the system from the outside and say, shake up the system. But
I don't think people are going to suffer. That's what I just said.
Oh, no. People will suffer. We know the poor will suffer. We know if you take people off the rolls, they'll suffer.
But I don't think they are going to take them off the rolls.
Well,
I think they're going to just relabel what exists.
And as I said in the beginning of this conversation, the one thing that we kept hearing is that they'll repeal without making substantive changes. If that happens, well, that's one thing. But if, in fact, they do insist in the United States House of Representatives, and we saw some dissonance there between mm-hmm. Trump and the House the other day, do insist on doing it, you may have unleashed the tiger, to mix metaphors.
And this goes hand in hand with the House panel recommending to defund Planned Parenthood. Okay.
Yep. Right, because, I want to talk about that
in a second. Yeah, but that cuts health care to poor women as well. And then I saw that there was a district court judge who ruled that doctors can say no to treating people based on their religious beliefs. So, you know, you take this, it's like the trifecta of bad health care. You know, it's exactly what you don't want to have happen.
So help me out if I'm wrong here, but it seems that the one of the things that the president-elect has said is that he does not want to the pre-existing conditions would not be a part of
that in the college,
right?
26-year-olds,
right? So my question is, that seems to be very much against what the House leadership is proposing. So there's going to be a fight on that level,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, isn't that going to be...
The problem is the features of Obamacare that are most popular cannot be supported without the parts of Obamacare that aren't the least popular.
Right.
So what they're going to do, I believe, is come up with this odd mix. It's going to be the sort of tinkering with the system that might have gone on had we not had the obstructionist behavior of the past 8 years, 6 years since Obamacare. And you'll see insurance will be sold across state lines, the insurance companies want that. And I don't think that the Republicans are connecting Planned Parenthood and care for marginalized populations along with this. They are not. And their followers don't care about that, Libby. They do not.
I know they don't care about it.
The people you lose by defunding Planned Parenthood, you're going to win back with evangelicals who want exactly that. So I think they have nothing to lose with this. And Paul Ryan, I don't believe he's not been thinking about this for the last 6 years, planning for what he would do if he had a shot at Obamacare. And I don't think he's going to dump. I don't think he's going to dump 20 million people. He's just not that stupid.
But there is a connection between the
two.
Oh,
I think there is.
There's a big
liberals
connection
do,
to
but it doesn't matter to them.
Well, that you know, you've got trying to get rid of Obamacare if that's what they do, and then defunding Planned Parenthood, which you know, 3% of their activity is providing abortion services. The rest of it is the full range of reproductive
details.
Healthcare.
Details. Don't bother
right,
us
I know
with
that's
details.
The problem. Don't bother us with details. We don't want to know the facts. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of the same people who are going to get hurt. And yes, the Republicans do not care about those people. They don't. It's not, you know, but you've got all these people in middle America, in predominantly red states, that are on Medicaid, that are getting food stamps, that are dependent on the government while they don't want to recognize it, but they are. And if they move to get rid of Obamacare and cut all these other entitlements, it's their base that they're hurting.
Well, the only question is, and I think Rosemary's raised this, I've raised it in the past, do they know it and do they care about it?
I don't think they care.
It's slim pickings on the bum.
Mm-hmm.
The real question is, to me, the rhetoric, they are prisoners of their own rhetoric
right.
now.
This is true.
They were the outsiders looking in, and they were saying, Obamacare. It was propaganda, Goebbels 101. Obamacare. Everybody pretty, well, that's terrible. Obamacare is terrible. But then what happens when the hurt begins? And maybe then Rosemary's right. Maybe they can't afford that.
I don't think that the Republicans are going to let people think that they ruined health care. I think they're going to tinker with it. They're going to keep much of what exists right now and just call it Trump care.
Well, they'll rebrand it is what basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and we'll have some letters as well. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.
That is so stuck
habits
in
are
your
all
head.
The break.
Yeah, no, they are. I do
it's
it
like
still.
3 years, you know, that we did it that way. So
I'm still reading the bad telephone number on Voxbot.
Right.
Yeah.
Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Paul Smith's College, a college of the Adirondacks, where a 14,000-acre lakeside wilderness is the campus. Offering a hands-on approach to career-oriented education, paulsmiths.edu. And Walrath Recruiting Incorporated, Albany and Saratoga, local independent firm providing staffing, recruiting, and executive search services in the Capital Region and beyond. WALRATHRecruiting.com or 518-886-8860.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And it's we love hearing from you. It's panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. We do have other
we needed
other...
another break, Joe. Libby is in the middle of a joke and all we're missing is a punchline.
Right.
We cannot
right.
wait
Alan's
another 15
It's only
minutes.
4 minutes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
only four
all right,
minutes.
All right.
All right. So if you could just... Alan's got some letters, and then we'll get into you know what really counts—the punchline of the joke.
Not that many letters, but I'll read what we.
Oh,
have.
Okay.
Slowly,
okay.
That's okay. Good. Right.
We'll have more by the time you're done. I know we will.
Very slowly, because the Donald says that he knows more about hacking, security, and military strategy than anyone. We're getting to this, aren't we, Joe? In the program.
Yes.
Yes. And doesn't have time for security briefings from the U.S. intelligence community. Perhaps the daily global briefing should be condensed to the length of a tweet. since that seems to be the upper limit of his attention span. All right. And then John says, ACA only treated the tip of the healthcare iceberg. Sure, insurers take their cut, but providers and suppliers demand excessive prices. If you don't agree, I have one word, EpiPen. I hope we take this opportunity to improve ACA's flaws and not just kill it. And I say, take a deep breath and don't let it out.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, they are definitely going to repeal it. I don't know how you cannot after all the promises, 60-some votes beforehand.
And Russ says, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
The Republican Party has already hobbled the Affordable Care Act by underfunding the reinsurance pool that was intended to support private insurance participation pending full enrollment in the ACA-sponsored health plans. They've already proposed multi-state plans that would sidestep state insurance regulation and a rollback of mandated coverage. This would present New York with a choice of either funding the lost coverage estimated at $3.7 billion, that's with a B, or restoring the market to its pre-ACA state. My guess is that we'll need to start all over again in 4 years. And that's from Russ. And Stephen says, if the Republicans rebrand Obamacare, will they go back to calling it Romneycare? And
I doubt it.
And Doug says, the Republicans are going to symbolically repeal it to gain, quote, that victory without changing, stopping any of the current benefits. They will tinker with it, like Rosemary says. That way they will keep their promise to repeal. And that's from Doug in Woodstock. And Peter says, one word that keeps coming up from Ryan and the Republicans is vouchers for Obamacare, Medicare, and Medicaid. Does anyone in capital letters believe that these vouchers will provide adequate health care in the real world? And on and on. Said Shakespeare. Anon.
Anon, anon. Anonymous.
Manamana.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah, there you go.
We got plenty, but it's
okay. So when we look at, we just have a minute before we go on break. How much do you think we'll be hearing about this? We learned yesterday the president will be giving his farewell address, and then we may or may not have a press conference from Donald Trump next week. Has that been confirmed? Does anybody know if that's
doesn't
been
matter if it's been confirmed
right.
or not.
He won't do it.
Promises them and calls them off all the time.
Okay, but I don't know if there's currently a promise on the table.
There is one on the table.
Okay, so do you think this will be a major issue in both speeches?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would think so. I think, as I said before, I think they're prisoners of their rhetoric. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's happened to them.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have a lot of stuff to other issues to talk about, and we will do just that. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok is here,
yay.
Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. And Libby mentioned this right before the break.
The Chelsea Handler?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, dear.
Oh, okay.
Not that. You were talking about Planned Parenthood.
I cut you off when you were talking about Planned Parenthood. Yes,
I was going to go that route.
Okay, you're going that route. Okay.
Which is okay. The House panel recommends cutting funding for, and then we'll talk about Chelsea.
Okay, this bogus House panel. I mean, really
House panel
is just
recommends
insane.
Cutting funding for Planned Parenthood, reigniting the old debate. A House panel formed by Republicans to investigate the procurement of human fetal tissue for medical research has recommended stripping federal funds from Planned Parenthood, heralding a new congressional assault on the nation's largest provider of abortions and women's health care.
Well, you know, here's the deal. They predicate this panel on that discredited video.
Yes.
You know, but let's not deal with the facts. You know, that video was discredited. It went to court. You know, Planned Parenthood won their case around this video, yet this bogus, and it is bogus because their recommendations are ridiculous, although they will have consequences. This panel is saying, you know, all the stuff about fetal tissue and stem cell research and no to abortions and, you know, life starts when the heartbeat starts, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And they are just one more cog in the wheel of defunding Planned Parenthood. And what people don't understand is 3% of all the work that Planned Parenthood does is abortion services, and 97% is providing the full range of reproductive health care for women, including pap smears and breast exams and access to mammograms and contraception. And these people are also against contraception.
Right.
You know, I mean, I read another piece where there was a judge or a new assembly person in some southern state who said the choice of the woman is whether or not to conceive. And that's it.
Gosh.
Right. And yet they don't want us to have contraception. So that means we really don't have a choice.
It is a concerted effort on the part of the Republicans, and they do have votes now. And so I was looking at how much money Planned Parenthood gets from the federal government. And even with support from liberals, from feminists, that is a huge hole to fill,
mm-hmm.
which means you are no two ways about it. You're looking at cutback in health services for women.
Yes, yes, you
and
are.
And you know, it's just such a shame that abortion is the you know, the hot potato that it is. Abortion is not a good method of contraception. No one wants to really do an abortion, and it's declining in the United States. It's not a huge problem,
right? When you provide contraception,
and you
Colorado,
don't have it at all.
Colorado is providing contraception, free contraception. Even to high school students, and they're seeing a precipitous decline in unintended pregnancies in teenagers, and their abortion rates are going down. You know, you can't. It's like the Obamacare stuff. Let's all take it away, and then we'll see what happens. You can't take this away and then not expect there's going to be negative consequences.
Yeah.
What we're going to see is back alley abortions. Women are going to die again, like they did in the 50s and the 60s and before that.
Or
that's what we're
going to
see.
Unwanted children, Lord.
Well, and great. We have unwanted children, you know, and there's no funding, there's no food stamps, there's no Medicaid
Correct.
For these folks. I mean, you know, they'll be on the street.
We're not happy.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
I'm done.
All right. That's all right. Alan, did you want to weigh in on this?
131 this morning.
Weigh in.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. 31 this morning.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Want to read the letters then?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks.
Although, just to make Rosemary really unhappy because she doesn't like my sense of humor, we were just doing the media project, and Rex said something that was untoward, and I said, Rex, as Freud said, there is no joke. And then I followed up with, and he said something about Jung, and then I said, forever Jung.
I can't believe you had to repeat it. It was a bad joke in context. Without context, it's crazy ridiculous.
Forever Jung. Good morning. There are television cameras in here.
Yeah, okay. Oh, no, I think she's... Yeah, all right, go ahead then.
Okay.
Playing Tetris. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, says Jeff. I'm sorry, but in spite of Alan's touting, having Herb Lonen and other opposing viewpoints on the station, you're only having a Rich on the panel once every couple of weeks does not balance the perspectives of having three chicken little liberals reinforcing each other's viewpoints each morning. Best regards, Wimmer. Okay. Thank you for Alan's apt phrase about the House GOP, prisoners of rhetoric. But does it also apply to the new president? That remains to be seen. Thanks and good morning. And that's from Altamont. Failing to repeal Obama himself, the Republicans have had to focus instead on repealing what they have made his symbolic proxy, which is Obamacare, which they have also failed to repeal. Of course, they have had no plan to replace Obamacare with anything meaningful, since the real interest was in replacing Obama. It has nothing to do with health care. Nothing about this suggests that the Republicans care about health care, JF. And dear panel, wonderful discussion as always. What does the panel think? Will be Obama's post-presidential political activities will be an active voice, working more in the back channels? And what does the panel think he should do after January 20th? And Mary says, our horrible non-system of health care is built on the web of compromises and horse trades. It can't be fixed overnight. We need a good single-payer system, but the likelihood of that during this administration is minimal. Oh, minuscule. Okay, New York State should lead the way with a statewide program. Okay, and yesterday we heard Andrew Cuomo saying if they repeal Obamacare, it's going to break the state. Forget about single payer. Yeah, and anyway, and then there was another letter which has disappeared. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, no.
But it said something about Alan, you know, being right
being
on the money.
Brilliant.
Yeah, something like that.
How did we lose that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think Rosemary probably surreptitiously reached over here, grabbed it, and threw it.
Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right.
I thought we would have had it laminated and framed by now. Where the hell is that?
You should see the smile on her face.
Guilty.
All right. Let's move on to other topics. We go to the issue of Russia, Trump's criticism of intelligence on Russia is dividing the GOP on the Hill. President-elect's broadside against the intelligence community is dividing Capitol Hill Republicans, with some ready to pounce on Trump's skepticism that Russia interfered with the U.S. elections and others urging a more cautious approach. The resulting schism could widen as Congress begins probing CIA's charges that Russia intervened in the November elections in an attempt to help Trump. Potentially becoming one of the first significant intra-party breaches of the Trump presidency. Excuse me, U.S. critics of Russian President Vladimir Putin, such as Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham, want to go full bore on holding Russia to account for suspended election interference, but they may be slowed by GOP senators who prefer to wait to hear the intelligence community's evidence and for Trump to be installed in the White House.
Huh. Well, I'm watching John McCain now, and it's extraordinary the things that he is saying and doing. I mean, he really is now an avowed enemy of Trump, and he's not shutting up about it.
And he has power, right?
Oh, he has a committee, and that committee can really make a difference. You know, if you could round up, what's the difference in the Senate now? Does anybody remember numbers?
Four.
There are four. If you could round up six Republicans— Yeah, and I can tell you three of them right now. You got Susan Collins.
That's right.
You've got McCain. You've got
even Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham
on these issues.
Yes. And so if you do that, and now I've been saying this all along. People have been poo-pooing it, but I've been saying there has to be a reason why Trump is out front. Now even his source against all of the intelligence community is Assange, of all things.
I know
is Assange. That's his buddy now. And of course, the this is a guy that we have had some grave doubts about, but he does seem to be playing the Rusky card. I know I'll get criticized for using the word Rusky, so just say Russian card. That is what we are facing. And his committee is going to start today. And believe me, they're loaded for bear and they're ready to go. And if it turns out that Trump has been playing ball with these guys, I think it's impeachable.
I think this is going to be the thing that brings him down. I really do. I think that, you know, when you have folks like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, even Marco Rubio, okay?
Little Marco.
And you're going to have Ted Cruz because he was really mean to Ted Cruz, too. I think this playing footsie with Putin could very well bring him down, and they're not gonna let up. They're not gonna give him a free pass on this.
Yeah, you know, Libby, you can talk about again and again and again Hillary's emails.
Yeah.
How does Hillary's emails compare
to
with
this.
Playing ball with the Russians?
Right, this is treasonous.
Well, potentially, let's put it that
way.
Okay,
fine.
I think you sound like Chicken Littles, you two. Trump is not going to be brought down by this. I think he knows what he's doing. And if you're going to talk about something that could bring him down, how about his business connections, which seem to be in contravention of the Constitution? Yet he has he's got a very supportive Congress. He's going to just explain it away, and we're going to just go along with this. And where's the intelligence community? Why don't they present the evidence? Hold a press conference, Comey. You liked holding them before about Hillary. Come and talk about this.
Well, they're going to leak the report. As you know, there are three versions of the report that are going to be given. One for us, one for the Congress, and one for the three or four guys at the top.
So one goes today, and then all parties meet with Trump tomorrow, correct?
I don't know.
I mean, well, the other part of this is that Comey won the election for him with that, you know, 11th
correct.
Hour press conference.
Perhaps.
And now he's bashing all the entire intelligence community. You think that they're going to be
is
nice
there no
to
gratitude?
Him? Right. Is there no gratitude? He's absolutely right. You think they're going to be nice to him now? I don't think so.
He doesn't seem to play that way. I mean, if we're talking about people who have done him favors,
they
where's
have
Chris
more
Christie
power
and Rudy
than
Giuliani?
He does. They have He's, more power than he does if they want to
if
exercise.
Congress, if the this is a place, and I go back to Watergate, and I see that now there are Democrats in the Watergate case, but they brought them down, and it took a lot of Republicans to help do that with Nixon. I see this as a coordinate branch of government, and this is where it's going to happen. I count out the House. The House are going to just continue to do what they're doing.
Right.
But the Senate could be very dangerous for him.
Absolutely.
We have to go to a break. I have a question just before we go to the break. Does anybody know the answer to this? Bernie Sanders, of course, independent senator who sided with has always sided with the Democrats. In running for president as a Democrat, did he have to change his party affiliation, or is he still an independent in the Senate?
I think he's still an independent. I don't think he ever changed his party affiliation.
How could he run as a Democrat then?
Because they nominated him. You can cross nominate.
Well, they didn't nominate him.
They did.
Well, they were going to nominate him, but he could run because he got the requisite amount of petition signatures.
I'm sure he did not. But intuitively, he did not renounce his independence.
No, he's still an independent senator.
Yes, that's
okay.
My bet.
That was just my little pre-break question that I was curious about.
Okay, we'll
all
do
right.
Research.
Thank you very much.
Right,
I tried to Google it last night. I couldn't find it. Okay. Rob, take it away. We'll be back right after this. Good morning, and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, and we will continue our conversation. And are those new letters, Alan?
Yes.
All
yes.
right, so let's so go to glad. Those.
Okay. Hi, all.
Hi.
I tend to agree with Rosemary that the plan now in place will be modified and called something else. The word repeal is the spin. I even recall Trump saying that repeal and replace would not happen at the same time. I did not vote for Trump and have been laminating, but also think we need to be careful to always speak with R-E-S.
Lamenting.
Lamenting. Oh, so sorry. Yeah. There you go.
It's cased in plastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
very thin.
But also think we need to be careful to always speak with R-E-S-P-E-C-T, even when disagreeing or criticizing a position, following Michelle Obama and Barack Obama's example. Thanks. Enjoy the info and news. And that's from Catherine. All right. Mr. Trump is smart. He knows he's dumb and uninformed. Hence, he makes virtually all his comments as tweets, so there isn't room for details. He would tweet his inaugural address if he could, and if there's a press conference, he may well answer questions in tweet-length responses. Ashley says, Sarah Cliff of Vox.com has detailed information on many Obamacare replacement plans put forward by various Republicans, including ones by Speaker Paul Ryan, Senator Orrin Hatch, Senator Ted Cruz, and Trump's HHS nominee, Representative Tom Price. People interested in reading them can find the article by Googling Vox.com Obamacare Replacement Plans Comparison. All right, and good morning, panel. Thanks for taking the time to discuss the Planned Parenthood defunding. This may sound very gross, but I hope women will clear the closets of their wire coat hangers, and mail them to Mike Pence. As Arlo Guthrie says, if five people a day walk in and sing chorus of Alice's Restaurant, well, they'll call it a movement. If a million women send their coat hangers, they'll get a message. You know, that's a very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, when the House decided to get rid of the ethics group
right.
that oversaw them, the independent ethics group, people just weren't going to sit still. They all got on the phones. We got all those letters here saying John Faso didn't answer his phone, or this one didn't answer his phone. So I have a feeling that these phones are going to be pretty busy.
Well, there's a new guide out by former progressive congressional staffers called Indivisible. And it's indivisibleguide.com. And it's the step-by-step, basically, of how to build a progressive Tea Party movement, you know, but we'll have to call it something else. But basically, how to engage with your legislators at the national level. You know, it's basic how-to stuff, but done in a way that's accessible to people and within the context of progressive politics. So I, you know, and I know Rachel Maddow talked about it last night or the night before. You know, there are, I think, what happened with the ethics bill is really indicative of what they're up against moving forward. I think people are going to get more engaged now. I was shocked that people called about this.
You know, it's interesting. Rosemary and I were talking about this on the media project today. The legislature are such cowards that they are now, both here, both in the state legislature and the Congress, passing rules that you can't, a member can't bring their cell phone onto the floor. And that has to do with John Lewis leading the group down to protest. And they don't
want anybody. You can't live stream from the floor.
Yeah, and they don't want anybody. What's the name of that? My kid does it.
Facebook Live.
Oh, you can do Facebook Live.
Or Periscope.
Periscope is the one that Jonas uses, yes.
Yeah, you can't do any of that. And that's really an abridgment of our free speech.
Can you imagine? And so now they have these, of course, this stupid thing where the camera is directed by the people in charge. But I have a feeling those phones are going to be very busy
now.
And there will be a lot of Congress people who would go along who will not be able to now. Okay, more.
Well, you know what? But one thing. Sure. Stefanik and Faso both voted against it. They both voted against that ethics bill. They heard from people.
Well, let's not be so sure.
That's what it said.
I hear you. But remember that this is now... I believe you, Libby. I have no question that you're right, because they are on the fence. They're in districts which could go either way.
The swing districts.
They were told by their own leaders, don't do it, and they followed the lead. Nevertheless, I think we're even people in red districts are going to follow very carefully when they get 25, 30, 50, 100, 500 phone calls. Mm-hmm. When you can't get through to them, that's going to mean something.
Absolutely.
To them.
Absolutely. That's the way you get through, because they count. It's not that they listen to every phone call. They just count. And they add it all up.
My friend Ruth Ellen called and said, please remember that the federal government does not send Planned Parenthood a big check. The federal funding at risk of defunding includes Medicaid reimbursement for health care provided, not for abortions, but for birth control, cervical and breast cancer screenings, and STD testing and treatment. Millions of women rely on Planned Parenthood as their only source of reproductive health care. Imagine if they can't use their Medicaid insurance to come to Planned Parenthood. And that's from Ruth Ellen. And there you go, the president of Mid-Hudson, I think, Mid-Hudson Planned Parenthood. And I am a supporter of Planned Parenthood, says Doreen. However, after hearing Cecile Richards say she's meeting every woman who voted for Trump who are now concerned about their access to medical care, I feel less inclined to donate. Their vote was consequences. I don't get that one particularly, but maybe somebody else does. All right. And then we heard from our friend Karen, who says, formerly the Affordable Care Act gave 20 million people health care, not Obamacare. Calling it Obamacare is a hot-button issue that those who oppose it can use against it, which is the last thing we need. Thanks. As we said earlier today, Obama has used Obamacare himself.
Yeah.
All right, so we go to another topic, and that topic is, there we go, let's see, we only have about 3 minutes, but let's bring this up anyway, because I don't think it'll probably take us that long, which is the Dylann Roof story, because there's not a lot to say there, except that it's just deeply troubling. Seeming to abdicate one of his last chances to save his own life, the convicted killer Dylann Roof stood on Wednesday before the juries who will decide his fate and offered no apology, no explanation, and no remorse for massacring 9 black churchgoers during a Bible study session in June 2015. Instead, in a strikingly brief opening statement in the sentencing phase of his federal death penalty trial, Mr. Roof repeatedly assured the jury that he was not mentally ill, undercutting one of the few mitigating factors that could work in his favor, and left it at that. quote, other than the fact that I trust people that I shouldn't, and the fact that I'm probably better at constantly embarrassing myself than anyone who's ever existed, there's nothing wrong with me psychologically, Mr. Roof, who was representing himself, told the jury, which found him guilty last month of the killings at Charleston's Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. 3 minutes after walking to the lectern, Mr. Roof returned to the defense table, exhaling deeply. He said, I would like to make it crystal clear. I do not regret what I did. I am not sorry. I have not shed a tear for the innocent people.
He also said he was willing to give up his life for this, meaning he pretty well knows the outcome.
Well, can you spell sociopath? I mean, the man has no remorse for what he did.
I
mean,
I don't believe in the death penalty under any circumstances. This is a test of that.
Oh, it is a test of that.
Absolutely.
I agree with you, Rosemary.
Absolutely.
And this is
should we spend hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars
because
to care for this man?
Don't we doing the same thing he did?
And then the line, the other line, which is really the most, well, it's hard to say what's most repulsive, but I do feel sorry for the innocent white children forced to live in the sick country, and I do feel sorry for the innocent white people that are killed daily at the hands of the lower race.
Ugh. Right. I mean, he's a racist. He's, you know, he there's not a lot to say.
You know,
he's
Rosemary,
then
I'll be sorry for opening my mouth. I've always been a bit of an agnostic on the death penalty. For those of us around this table who have children, you know, or relatives or the rest of it, you know, this is very confusing to me. I have been against the death penalty for one reason and one reason only, when we are absolutely sure. It's unclear that the person did it, and we've seen lots of people coming forth and being declared innocent after they're dead. So with that in mind, that's the only thing. But in terms of justice, I really don't know.
This man admits to killing 9 African Americans because of the color of their skin.
And they're dead and they're not coming back.
Right. They are dead. They're not coming back and their families are shattered. When you read the response from the husbands of the women or the wife of the pastor from that church, you know, she locked herself in his office under the desk with her little girl and put her hand over her little girl's mouth so they would be quiet. And then the little girl put her hand over her mother's mouth. I mean, the fear, the absolute terror that he instilled in these people is just... I just don't get it. I don't get how people.
Many members of the jury were crying listening to testimony like that. It's definitely compelling, and I do think he's going to die, but it's wrong.
I don't get how people get to that place of that much hatred.
Yeah, at that young of an age. At that young of an age.
His grandparents are sitting there watching this, you know. Are they at fault? You know, it's just awful.
Who knows what he learned at home?
We're going to take a break there. We'll go to a newscast. We'll be back. We welcome your comments. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Just drop a chart. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And let me introduce the panel to you once again in case you're just joining us. Alan Chartuck is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. So we welcome your thoughts on what is going on. Now, let's talk about what's going on, and we have other items to talk about. I think we're through with letters, yes? Are we?
No, we have a couple more.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, panel. Please don't let people who call you Chicken Littles sway your talk. You are all talking news, not just because one side is saying ridiculous things. That does not mean you cannot comment and have an opinion. I appreciate your thoughtful conversations and strong opinions. While I don't always agree, it inspires me to think things through and do further research. And that's from Penelope.
Thank you. That's great. That's good.
Right now on MSNBC, witnesses from the FBI are stating their facts on the gathering of intelligence on Russian backing, and that's from Jay, the bus driver. And thank you. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
I just wanted you to say that listening to you has given me hope that for the next 4 years will not irrevocably damage our country. Thank you for bringing us insight and clarity in these trying times. If there's something wrong, quote, speak up. Thanks. And that's from Lou.
All right. Let us talk about that was a very nice letter.
Except I think there is going to be irrevocable harm.
Trump?
You know, there are those people who think, Rosemary, that it's two steps forward, one step back. My feeling is that if this does not become militaristic state in which things like elections are canceled or something like that, we'll get through it. What I worry about is the ultimate sanction. If a guy says, look, this election is going to be rigged, and then he says it at the end of his term, this election is going to be rigged, so therefore you can have an election. That's what I get worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that there's already been harm. The amount of hate crimes. I mean, I don't know, Alan, if you saw this, but the sign in front of the Hebrew Union Seminary in Cleveland was defaced with a swastika.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, there's a gay couple whose house was totally trashed in California, in Van Nuys, California. People are getting beat up. There are already consequences.
I have no question that what you're saying is true. No question. I read a letter here about putting me in the gas chambers. Mm. I mean, look, these folks have been unleashed.
Right.
And we're hearing from quite a few of them.
Yes. And it's a little scary.
Okay. Good morning, panel. Healthcare insurance is like buying buying club. Depending on which one you belong to, you pay a higher or lower price for care. You can see this on your explanations of benefits when the insurance pays a fraction of the list price. If you don't have health care, then you pay full price. Congress needs to address that the iniquity that exists from the wide range price ranges that health providers charge and accept. It's not fair to those outside the club. Do you think? Rosemary is right, says Jay.
Ooh, say that again?
Rosemary is right. One more time? Rosemary is right. If killing people is wrong, then killing people who kill people is wrong. What Dylan Roof did is despicable. As an African-American, I find his espoused beliefs disgusting and disturbing. But we didn't give him life, and we have no right to take his life away. As a member of the We the People, I don't want the death on my head. And that's from Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay.
Hard letter to write, too.
Uh-huh.
I understand.
Okay. And Sisk says, as Rodgers and Hammerstein put it so well, you have to be taught to hate and fear. You have to be taught from year to year. It has been drummed into your dear little ear. You have to be carefully taught.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to the other story that I wanted to get to. This one having to do with it's Governor Cuomo's goodwill tour. And that brings us to Kennedy Airport and what he is looking, the remaking of Kennedy Airport. And day after we talked about tuition, we are now talking about remaking the Kennedy Airport. It said that with a complete overhaul of LaGuardia underway, he wants to rebuild New York's other airport, JFK. He outlined a plan to spend more than $10 billion modernizing Kennedy's terminals and improving the highway and transit systems connected to the airport. He did not provide a timetable for the plan or say specifically where all of the money would come from. The next step is to tackle JFK because LaGuardia isn't enough.
I think the governor's on a roll. Another good move. Infrastructure repair is important. This makes sense. It's JFK is a huge hub. Once again, he's winning my votes.
Smart move on the governor's part. And whoever is helping be strategic with him is doing a very good job. We don't have to go into motives because, you know, politicians try to get votes. And this is a very good way of getting them. Yep. So Rosemary's going to vote for him.
And advocate for him.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is infrastructure creates jobs. The infrastructure repair creates jobs. The airports do need help.
Yep.
That's for sure. And it drives economic development. And if they get the airplane companies to pay for part of this, it's a win-win.
I was going to ask Alan. Sure. You may know this. How is this Tappan Zee Bridge project coming?
It's coming along. We still don't know who's paying for
it. Right, but it's getting there.
Now look,
that's a theme, huh? We don't know who pays.
Well,
for
but that's
stuff.
Very important. And here's the deal: somebody's going to have to pay for it, and dare I say, it's going to be the taxpayers.
Oh.
I'm for it. I'm for all the reasons you guys have advanced. I'm all for it. But here's something to remember: if you're talking about $10 billion. It is unlikely that any politician, when they do this kind of thing, is going to have to pay for it while they're in office. somebody's going to have to pay for it, and it'll probably be after they leave. Well, hey, you don't pay. Or the argument to that is to mortgage your house.
Well, it's, what do you pay for? They're bonding for all of this stuff. It's,
well, they will.
You know, through DASNY and how they do their bonds, and we'll be paying for it for the next 30 to 50 years.
But what we have to remember is there has to be a mechanism in place to remember that when you get a contract on something like this, there is not some hanky-panky going on, which is what we have seen up to now. It's one of the reasons that, although Rosemary is voting for the governor, that other people are saying they're not going to vote for him because it happened on his watch when he said he would clean it up.
Did you want to respond, Rosemary?
No, I you can't defend him on that. It's horrible, but I've yet to see a perfect politician, and it's not like anybody else has figured that out.
A thousand wrongs make a right.
Yeah, blah.
Or death by a thousand cuts.
If indeed it can be laid at his doorstep, Preet Bharara is on the job, and I don't think the new president would mind seeing a progressive governor in the state of New York going down. So he'll get his. I don't have to be vindictive about that. In the meantime, I think he's making some really good moves.
Yes, I agree with the good moves thing. The tuition is a good move, but on the other hand, you know, when you run for office and you say to the people, the reason I'm running is to clean up Albany. And then you come in, and not one but two of your better friends, one your best friend, and the guy you've been dealing with and touting, Elaine Calieros, is accused. I don't know whether he's guilty, but accused of doing all of this. That doesn't look good in terms of the mandate that you demanded when you ran for office in the first place.
But we all have to remember, and this can be easily deflected, it is the legislature that needs to pass the laws to clean things up, and they won't do it.
Yep.
And they haven't done it because they're not going to change laws that are going to impact their ability to get reelected.
Yep.
I couldn't agree with you more. But what is interesting is that as people start to pick up that telephone and start to yell and scream, which they do in Congress because it has a much more visual effect, then things may change in the legislature, which is really a den of iniquity. There's no two ways about it.
All right.
I think we're done.
We're good on that? All right. What else? Let's see. We have what is the other issue I wanted to talk about? And that is there was the Facebook video. Did you all see that?
Yes, I read about it. Yeah.
Rosemary, did you see this? The four in custody after the Facebook video showed the group attacking.
Yes, I did. Saw the headline.
I mean, how stupid can you be?
I don't know the story. Can somebody help me with this?
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said that the victim was an adult male with mental health challenges. The suspects were in custody and awaiting formal charges, which could include hate crime charges, he said. Four are in custody after Facebook photo showing, a Facebook video.
Showing, it was live. It was Facebook Live.
It was Facebook Live, and it was it's really extremely disturbing. Shows a group attacking a man while railing against Trump and whites, it's hard to watch on a number of fronts, the video shows a terrified young man in a gray hooded sweatshirt and dark pants crouching in a corner, his wrists and neck bound with orange bands, his mouth taped shut. A young woman films as two young men slash the sleeves of his shirt with knives, then take turns punching him, slapping him, and stomping on his head. At one point, one of the men can be seen cutting the victim's hair and scalp with a knife, and the victim is later shown bleeding from his injuries. It's a 28-minute video and focuses mostly on the young men, on the young woman behind the camera. The group laughs, jokes, and listens to music as the victim sits motionless on the floor.
Can I ask a technical question about the Google thing? If you're doing Google Live, can you also Facebook Live? Can you also be filming at the same time? In other words, you have a record of it.
Oh yeah, it's live. Yes. It's recorded as you go, and it ends up being archived on Facebook.
And Joe, do we know anything about the motives of the woman who was doing the filming?
No, other than that they were brought into custody. I think the questions that remain are how they got the victim, which I believe was Police say that they found the disoriented victim walking down the streets and saw that he was in this condition afterwards and brought him to the hospital. That's sort of how they found out about it. It wasn't from seeing it on Facebook. The question, which I think you're asking, is how did they, why were they doing it in the first place?
Yes.
Is this particular individual? And I don't think they know the answers to that.
Well, but he's a disabled individual.
Yes.
No, but why was the person filming? What was the motive of
what was the
filming?
To show what they were doing.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it was clear.
So
you know,
she like was not with them. Not with the perpetrators.
No, she was.
She was. She was,
she was one of the four.
And doing it for just for
and
the
And she was filming
like,
it. They
like
were
the
doing
Nazis,
it for the hell of it.
Recording their tortures.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Oh,
that's hate. It's hate.
It's a hate crime.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. It's definitely a hate crime. And
because most of the time when people do those filmings, they're there by accident. They see something terrible going on. They record it. And
this
is part of the group.
Yeah.
Police declined to give the race of the attackers or the victim. In the video, the attackers appear black. The victim appears to be white. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said that the victim was an adult male with mental health challenges. The suspects were in custody Wednesday and awaiting formal charges, which could include hate crime charges.
Did the victim die?
No. And also that there were two men, two women that were in custody. And but also there was this political element of being against because they kept on saying F Trump and F white people.
Yeah.
Is what is kept on being said throughout the video.
You know, didn't Trump say something yesterday or the day before about bringing the military into Chicago? Something like that. Bringing something into Chicago. That's how it starts, folks.
Yeah.
When you have a rationale, and boy, Chicago is a mess right now.
Yeah.
I sure wouldn't be voting for Rahm Emanuel.
Trump, to
answer for,
to Alan's point, Chicago murder rate is record-setting, 4,331 shooting victims with 762 murders in 2016. If mayor can't do it, he must ask for federal help. That was the tweet that he had on the 2nd of January. This is now the first time in recent months that people in Chicago have been captured on video attacking someone while invoking the president-elect's name. In November, the day after the presidential election, a group of people were recorded beating a 49-year-old man while shouting, "You voted Trump, don't vote Trump." Four people were charged with vehicular hijacking in connection with that incident.
So we should just make it clear that the invective talked about Trump, but it was not pro-Trump. It was as if, right? I mean, isn't that...
Oh, no, it's not pro-Trump.
No.
No, not at all.
So we're doing tit for tat. There's all these hate crimes that are pro-Trump, so people are saying, oh, let's do them that are anti-Trump, and that's not a good
point.
How did Trump get involved in this crime at all, you know?
Why
is his name... I know, but why is his name involved? Why is his name invoked?
Well, the real question is, has Trump unleashed the racist trolls that we're hearing from, for example, and the other people who we never heard from before? That is the big question now, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Life in prison costs taxpayers less than sentencing a person to death due to multiple mandatory appeals. This is true even if the inmate lives in prison for many decades, and that's from Reed. How did Roof become what he is today? He wasn't born that way. Shouldn't we try to find out what turned him into an unrepentant psychopath? And James says, while Dylan Roof is certainly a candidate for the death penalty, life in a very small room with just four walls as his friends may be a more fitting punishment. Okay, and hello, panel. What great show you have every day. Each day, I'd like to point out that this flurry of hate crimes is not just here in the U.S., but all over the world. The sexual attacks on women in Europe, New Year's running, the building of walls in some countries, the far right overseas trying to exclude migrants, more than just a Trump effect. It's worldwide. Yikes. One could say, though, that Trump and some of the others are reflective of what people are feeling. It's not that Trump started it all, but it isn't.
Well,
one could hardly compliment him for being
unleashing
things.
He did start. When he in his initial announcement calling Mexicans rapists, he started it. He's got Steve Bannon by his side, who is hate monger number one in this country. So he did start it. He unleashed. He's giving these people license. to do what they're doing.
Yeah, you only have to look at the video that the New York Times took of Trump rallies,
right?
A compilation of them across the country. Right. It's terrifying.
I mean, what they call the press. They use that German term.
Yeah, lying press.
Right, lying press and delegitimizing the press.
Well, and causing violence against others.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming at people who disagree with them.
We were asked one of the things of this, going back to the top intelligence officials to testify in election hacking, officials are expected to describe Moscow's role in directing a cyber campaign that divulged emails from the DNC, Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and other political organizations. And as Alan indicated earlier, and I think this is interesting, there'll be three reports. And ultimately,
yes.
What do you think? So do you think we'll, at what point will we know what really happened?
Well, the problem is, I've been saying all along, is you got to ask, in the last presidential election and the time before that, everybody's talking about we need more assets in place. That means we need more spies. And we have them. And the problem is that if you use this kind of information, you endanger the spies, your own spies.
The hearing may shed light, this is from the Wall Street Journal, the hearing may also shed light on plans under consideration by Mr. Trump and his aides to reorganize some of the 17 U.S. intelligence agencies. However, the intelligence officials downplayed prospects. Major revelations at the outset of the remarks, saying that they are awaiting results of an investigation expected later this week. Last year, all the agencies issued a joint statement pinning blame for the unprecedented cyber hacking operation on Russia's senior most officials. The statement itself was a rare public admission by the spy agencies.
You know, Joe, what their problem is? Their problem is they're going to kick all the Obama people out of these intelligence agencies, right?
The real scary thing about this is the apparent influence of Mike Flynn, who failed at one of the DNI positions, the military position.
Okay, yeah,
he
okay.
Was terrible, revenge, it looks
okay,
like.
Okay, you're right. But they're going to kick these people out. Their problem, the Trump people's problem, is that these people all start leaking. They'll leak like a sieve. And we're going to get
who will the Trump people?
The people
will?
No,
the
Obama people,
people
are now leaving.
Right.
Yeah,
oh,
and that'll happen. I have no doubt about it. So now, if they redo all of these agencies, these intelligence agencies, and it is clear that they're doing it in their own image, think about what a McCain is going to be thinking about that. Now we have guys who are pro-Russian running the intelligence agencies. That's going to be extraordinary.
Big KGB man is happy.
Right.
He's having a great year.
What's democracy again?
If a KGB agent and a real estate developer got into a fight, which one would win? Are we outclassed?
All right. How about we end there?
Okay. Good idea.
Okay. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow, and thank you very much. We'll return with the roundtable right after the short break.